The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is David X, Chief Technologist, North American Public Sector at Red Hat. No, this isn't code. He just pronounced his name that way. The last name is spelled David E-G-T-S. Is that correct, Dave?
That's right.
Yeah, that's actually an easy one to remember.
Four letters.
Yeah, and no vowels, a whole bunch of consonants. So David X. So if you want to Google him or learn more, find out where he's speaking, I would just go to Google and type in David E-G-T-S and maybe Red Hat and find out all kinds of information about Dave. But let's have him provide some information. What's your background, Dave, and why Red Hat?
Yeah, so, if we go back in the time machine, I grew up in Western Pennsylvania and worked for a government integrator and got into virtual reality back when virtual reality was big in the 90s. And my passion was, I was really passionate about that. And my goal was to always I was an SGI, Silicon Graphics user for a long time. And I always wanted to work for SGI whenever I grew up. And so I had the opportunity, moved to Ohio. But then I started to see that open source was starting to really, really make an impact in society, in the government, in industry. And it's like I really, really wanted to be a part of that. And that's where I joined Red Hat in 2007. And so next February, it will mark my 10th year. So it's been a fun ride.
So you are individually responsible for Red Hat growing up to being a $2 billion company? I mean, wow, it's blown up.
Yeah. Well, it's a team effort. It's a team effort. It's not all me. But no, it's funny. It's like as soon as you hit the $2 billion mark, they're like, okay, now we're going to five. And what have you done for me lately?
But this is big numbers. You know, I remember Red Hat was kind of just an also-ran little guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. 25 years around, 25 years in business, huh?
Yeah.
Jeez,
yeah.
My goodness. I think when a lot of people hear about open, they think about open data and open source, and I think that's what Red Hat's all about. So let's define some terms here and just talk about what open source is and where Red Hat fits in, and Red Hat has enemies and friends, and they hate this, they don't like this. I mean, where does it all fit in for my listeners?
Yeah. So, well, if we take a look at open source, people actually, open source existed well before proprietary software. If you look at the computer systems back in the day, people made money off of hardware and they would give the software away. They would give the source code away. If you look at Unix in the early years, that was all, it was all, the software was provided and you got to see the source code. But over time, people placed more and more value on the software and more value on the bits. And whenever you look at that, that was, I think that that served itself well over time. But what happened was a lot of the innovation started to happen and there was this resurgence with Linux, and that really put it on the map as far as it being a credible alternative to a lot of the proprietary systems that are out there. If you look at the things in terms of performance, security, there have been a lot of studies have been done that have shown that open source software is more secure. The performance is better, the cost is better, because you have a larger community of people working on the code and more eyes on the code. So like how you talk about having friends and enemies, we participate in communities that have our competition on those communities, but we all play well and we all get along well, and because we all have a common goal to serve our customers to the best of our abilities.
If you look at some of the pronouncements that the big dogs make, in the federal government here, you hear about open data and then open source. Just tell, some of the listeners know exactly what it is, some don't. So what's open data? What's open source? Do they get along? What's the difference?
Yeah. So, so open source is the applications, the program. So if somebody writes an application, whether it's, you know, your Firefox web browser or the Linux kernel or the Android operating system, the code is out there for anybody to look at. They could take a copy of that code, modify it, keep it to themselves, or they could actually provide patches back to help make the code even better. And you have this vibrant community. from an open data standpoint, that is similar. But what happens there is that you have these data sources that people have been collecting data, and it's useful to certain agencies, certain organizations. But if you're able to share that with other agencies and other organizations, those other people can take a look at that data in a different way and actually correlate that data and be able to do discoveries that the original creator of that data never intended.
You know, Dave, I've had Red Hat in the studio several times over the last decade. And, you know, when I remember the interview back 6 or 7 years ago, it wasn't about open source. It was about speed, baby. It was about speed, speed, speed. Forget everything else. It's like I had a race car driver in the studio because they said, hey, at NASA, we don't have a choice. We've got to be the fastest guy in town or we're going to be out. Yep. And so that's, I guess, from my perspective, I think of speed when I think of you guys. That's a marker you have, though, too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's where, you know, it's that marketplace of ideas where, you know, we have an entire dedicated performance engineering team that not only are we looking at things like security, but how do we make that our products as fast as possible in the enterprise? So you get a lot of startups that are looking at cool particular technologies, but they may not have the depth to, like, they can come up with that core idea, but how do you do, but we actually have the depth in our engineering core to be able to do things like in-depth security as well as performance engineering to make those really cool, innovative ideas performant in the enterprise.
I had lunch last week with a guy from SAP, and we were talking about scholarships that he offers to local students in Ireland, of all places, with technology. And so just from my perspective, or maybe listeners are thinking about this too, so can SAP, can that run on mm-hmm. Red Hat Linux? Or how's that all, what's the distribution there? What fits in where?
Yeah. So, SAP is a great partner of Red Hat, where ERP systems run on top of Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and we have plenty of other of great partners. One of the ones that I would say that have really put Red Hat on the map is if you go back in your time machine and look at, say, like the Oracle database running on top of Red Hat Linux, not even Red Hat Enterprise Linux, but Red Hat Linux back in the day on top of Dell hardware. And Oracle saw that as a market opportunity to get more wallet share because they were, instead of owning, before they owned Sun Microsystems, they were competing for wallet share with Sun in terms of, while the people could spend a lot of money on the Sun hardware, and then whatever's left over, they could spend on Oracle licenses. And by partnering with somebody like Red Hat and like Dell to have use more of the commodity hardware using open source, much more cost effective and performant operating systems, that opens up the wallet share for companies like Oracle or SAP and other partners to be able to not be as pinched when it comes to having their platforms run on top of our stuff.
Kind of a circuitous question. I was talking to some startups for a cybersecurity incubator hub, and they're talking about this new thing called HANA, H-A-N-A, mm-hmm. and it was all about real time. It's real time, real time. And, you know, SAP kind of got their stripes by talking about real time. And so if they want to provide information in real time, they have to have the vehicle to deliver it solid and reliable. And this is the combination I see of speed, speed, speed. But now it opens up to the whole world of open source to much more flexible than I think of Red Hat as being.
Oh, yeah. And that's where you have things like that's where performance is, like you said, is so important. And making that perform in the enterprise, we have those performance engineering and scalability teams that, that you could do interesting things as part of an open source community that scratch particular itches for people in that community, but to really make it perform at an enterprise scale and performance as well as reliability, that's where the commercially supported open source is so critical, where you have that bench of engineers that can come in and help with performance issues and security issues.
I have to tell you, my handwriting is terrible, Dave, and so I have my notes here. And I'm trying to read my notes, and I said, Red Hot Summit. No, it's Red Hat Summit. Might as well be Red Hot Summit,
it was.
Though, shouldn't it?
Yeah. We had a. Did you hear that we had a wedding at the summit?
At the summit?
Yeah.
Well, I figured an engagement, but not a wedding. It was part of the deal, huh?
Yeah, it was. We actually, a couple got married in between keynotes on stage. And our president of technologies, he was an ordained minister and did the wedding. So people can go on YouTube and check out the wedding.
Yeah, the way my kids do, the kids' friends do it is that someone go online, becomes a pastor for a day, and then performs a ceremony. He's done it. It's incredible how things are changing.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about the Red Hot Red Hat Initiative and the Red Hat Summit, and we'll take a break, come back, talk more about where you can learn more. Many of our listeners maybe don't have time to go out to San Francisco to attend an event, but there's events coming up in town the next 6 months. We can sit down, you can grab Dave and say, hey, Dave, you're wrong about this, or ask him a question face-to-face, and that's the best thing about all these events that are coming up. Let's take a break and come back, talk more about Red Hat. You are listening with Federal you're listening to John Gilroy with Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is David X, Chief Technologist, North American Public Sector at Red Hat. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have David X, Chief Technologist, North American Public Sector at Red Hat. There's no codes going on here. Just how spells his name. It's E-G-T-S, David X. We're talking about the Red Hot Red Hat, and kind of stumbled on that accidentally in the last block. You know, we've got about an hour here to talk, and we're going to touch on the main things and the mountaintops here, but and there are listeners that are going to be in the middle of Redskin seasons, and they're going to be listening to this and go, I don't know about security. I don't know about that. I want to ask that guy a question. So you can, I mean, there are events coming up in town we guys sponsor. Tell us about the events coming up in the next 6 months.
Yeah. So we got three big ones that are coming up. On July 28th, we have DevNation Federal. So if you go to devnationfederal.org, it's a free event that people could go to. We had DevNation right up against the Red Hat Summit in San Francisco this year, but for a lot of our government customers that they can't travel, they can't take the time away from the office, this is a great one-day best-of event.
This is perfect.
Yeah, where they can come down. And it's not just, Red Hat putting the red Kool-Aid out. We actually have folks from Netflix coming in to do keynotes. So if you want to hear about how people do DevOps in the real
world. And big data sets.
We got Google coming in to talk about Kubernetes. We have at least one presidential innovation fellow is going to be speaking. And we also have Microsoft, of all people, will be there talking with us.
Great. Hashtag DevNationFederal. That's what you'll follow, huh?
Yeah.
So I got something coming up in the summer, something coming up in October, something coming up in November. So all kinds of places to learn more.
Yep. Yeah. In October, we got Defense in Depth. So we'll be celebrating National Cybersecurity Month in October with Defense in Depth. So again, it's a best of Red Hat Summit security talks that we'll be having in the D.C. area. So people could visit us there. And then we have our Red Hat Government Symposium in November. And that will be at in Pentagon City at the Ritz-Carlton. And folks can come in and visit and see what we're doing there. And we'll have the latest updates on all the technology. And we have a really nice speaker lineup so far.
And in town here, everyone knows what that hotel is famous for. But it'll be famous for the Red Hot Red Hat coming up soon. You know, what's interesting is that I know have listeners in what they call the intelligence community. And they don't want to pick up a phone and call you. And they don't want to email you.
Yep.
But if they know you're coming in town for an event, they may sit in the back of the room and they're going to vet you to see if you know anything at all. And then if they think you may have something to offer, they'll walk up to you casually and go, well, hey, Dave, on the radio, you mentioned that 1 and 1 is 3. Well, I think you're wrong on that. I think it's really 2. And let's talk about this. And I think that's one of the best advantages of combining the radio with events is because there are people in this town that can't share challenges and struggles that they could maybe in Chicago or Cleveland or Detroit because it's all open. But there's some a little bit different than working with our little gubbies here.
Yep.
So first block was just in general about what Red Hat's all about. I got to dive into some of the technical stuff here. Now, for the longest time, I remember Steve Ballmer throwing chairs and yelling and screaming at people and hating this and hating that. And then you see Apple hates this company, that company. And I always was under the assumption that Microsoft was battling with Red Hat, going back and forth, round two, round three. But this is the lion and the lamb sitting down with each other. In fact, right now up in Canada, there's a big trade show going on. I'm sure they're talking about these. So for the listeners' benefit, tell about this whole relationship here between you and Microsoft.
Yeah. We're BFFs now. So it's really cool with under the new leadership at Microsoft, they are coming to the they're seeing the value in open source, that innovation happens faster with open source. And so not only are they partnering with Red Hat to get workloads running on Azure, but they're partnering with us and the rest of the open source community to open source a lot of the technologies that they're doing. So one example is .NET Core. where it's programming language that they developed and framework that they developed a long time ago, .NET. We announced at the Red Hat Summit the other week ago, or at DevNation, that that .NET Core is the reference platform for that is Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and Microsoft it jointly announced that with us. So if people want to run .NET Core on top of Linux, Red Hat Enterprise Linux is the place to go for that, and it's fully supported. We have a great relationship with Microsoft, so people can call us up for support. We actually have engineers badged and on site in Redmond.
Wow.
So it's unique. It's a very unique thing for both Red Hat and Microsoft. So that's .NET Core that we have going on. Microsoft announced that they have SQL Server now running on top of RHEL 2. And I think they see that as, again, a market opportunity where there are plenty of other databases that are running great on top of Red Hat Enterprise Linux. And I think Microsoft wants a piece of that action now, too. So that's why they're now running SQL Server on top of RHEL. And then the other thing, too, is the Azure is one of the big things that Microsoft has been working on and focusing on getting workloads on top of Azure. And they're totally excited about having Linux-based workloads running on top of there. And that's where we have things like you could run Red Hat Enterprise Linux on top of Azure. We also have our container platform, OpenShift, that runs natively on top of Azure. And then we also have a hybrid cloud management tool called CloudForms, where people in the government are focused on, they're mandated to do cloud first and shared first, and they want to move to the cloud. The realization is that they're not going to shut everything down and move to a public cloud. They're going to have this hybrid environment where they're going to have stuff on premise. They're going to have stuff on virtualized infrastructure. They're going to have stuff in a public cloud. And what CloudForms does is provide them with that single pane of glass, that universal remote that allows them to manage all of their virtual machines, whether they're running on virtualized infrastructure on premise or in a public cloud.
Because I'm a radio guy, I listen to words all the time, and you kind of tossed out some words there.
Yeah.
And the word you used was RHEL. You call it RHEL. You may want to define that.
Yeah. We use that for shorthand. RHEL, RHEL, Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So flagship Linux distribution.
And so what you meant was that that Microsoft can run on your enterprise version of Red Hat, RHEL.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So SQL Server and .NET can run on top of Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and Red Hat Enterprise Linux runs on top of Azure. So it's like that chocolate and peanut butter, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercial where two great things taste great together.
Yeah, some listeners know probably better than you and I what RHEL is all about, but you tossed that word out there. It's kind of confusing. Another word you tossed out earlier that a lot of listeners know but some don't is a Kubernetes. Now, is that the guy who plays second base for the Indians, or who's Kubernetes anyway? Huh?
Yeah, so Kubernetes is actually Greek for helmsman or navigator. And so it was a project that was developed by Google way back a long time ago. Or actually a year or two ago, but everything that Google does runs inside of a Linux container. And originally they developed their container platform on what they called the Borg. But they developed it internally and it was proprietary. Kubernetes is a clean room implementation of a container scheduling management platform that is totally open source. When Red Hat got wind that Microsoft or that Google was going into open source this, we wanted to get in on that and to join that community to be able to make it useful in the enterprise. And so we partnered with them. So now Kubernetes is actually one of the components that's built into OpenShift, which is our platform as a service or container management platform. And
puzzles. They all fit together, don't they? They're just random.
You have all these little projects that are like these puzzle pieces, like you say. And what Red Hat does is we take those puzzle pieces and snap them together and then give you that finished puzzle. So you could just innovate on top of that instead of you getting a bag of puzzle pieces.
Yeah, it's interesting that it seems so distinct and diverse, but it actually all works together when you kind of look at it distinctly. If you get too close, it doesn't look like it combines, but it looks like there's a method to this madness somehow of all working together to make life easier, make things faster and more open.
Yeah, that's right. That's totally right.
Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about Red Hat and maybe focus on ways you can learn more about Red Hat and learn more about stuff like atomic hosts and CloudForms. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, David X, Chief Technologist, North American Public Sector at Red Hat. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, David X, Chief Technologist, North American Public Sector at Red Hat. If you want to find more information on David, you can go to Google and type in David EGTS. And it's pretty simple. And if you Google him, you may find out that he has a podcast. So tell me about your podcast.
Yeah, so it's not a Red Hat sanctioned podcast.
Whoa, you're in trouble, buddy.
yeah, which is great because Red Hat, they're okay with that, and they encourage that expression.
That's fairly open.
Yeah, it's that's our culture, and so I do a podcast with my colleague Gunnar Hellickson, and we call it the Dave and Gunnar Show. So if people go to dgshow.org, so D's and Dave, G's and Gunnar Show.org. People could go and check that out, but it's just basically Gunnar and I talking about we have to for our jobs keep up on technology trends and we compare notes to figure out it's like okay well what should Red Hat be doing with this or that and at first we were just talking about it ourselves and Gunnar said well we ought to make this a podcast this, I think other people might appreciate it so we put it out there and we have a pretty dedicated following people should go ahead and check it out.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And that's the question I really want to ask is how do you keep up with everything? It's just there's so much stuff to read. There's books, there's articles, there's podcasts, there's blogs. So what do you read every week or what do you read regularly to keep up?
Yeah, well, I'm a big podcast guy, fan of Federal Tech Talk and Federal News Radio. So obviously that's the first place to go for things like that. But one of the big things that I do is I use Feedly, which is an RSS feed aggregator. So for fans that were Google Reader fans, whenever that imploded, that was like to me, I love that, and that's one of the apps that I can't live without because that forces me. Well, it helps me stay on top of things. So I could follow Ars Technica, I could follow Wired, I could follow the local trade press in DC and keep up on what's front of mind within the industry and even personal things I look up to.
I'm on Twitter a lot. I was there very, very early this morning, and I think your handle is at Red Hat Gov on Twitter.
Yep.
So I went to the regular old at Red Hat, and I scrolled through the last bunches of tweets just to see what's going on. Learned about DevNation, learned about this and that and everything. And here's a fun fact that I read this morning. This is kind of interesting. Maybe you can talk about this in your podcast. 41% of developers work with mobile apps.
Yep.
Wow, that seems like a big percentage, doesn't it? I guess 12, 41%. That's big.
Yeah.
So what's that got to do with Red Hat?
Well, we see as people move, like especially millennials and the next generation workforce is coming up, people are doing mobile first, whether it's citizen engagement or workforce automation. Being able to do things on a mobile app is much more important than having, say, a tough book bolted to the front seat of like a shipping van. And so we purchased a company a year or so ago called Feed Henry, and that does mobile application. It's a mobile application platform, and everything we do, whenever we with all our engineers and any company that we buy, first thing we do is we open source the technology. And so with Feed Henry, we've rebranded the commercial product as Red Hat Mobile. And that allows developers to do mobile backend as a service to be able to rapidly develop applications in a matter of minutes to tap the data sources. You know, we were talking about open data earlier, to be able to integrate those data sources that a lot of agencies have to be able to make that accessible very, very quickly.
So your big trade show every summer is Red Hat Nation, is that right?
Well, it's Red Hat Summit,
Red Hat Summit,
and then we do DevNation coincident with that.
Okay.
But yeah, we just had that, and we had it was a very action packed week.
So I looked up Red Hat Summit, and I looked on reviews, and some pundits wrote about the summit, and they said, hey, it's like the big news here is containers. Everything's containers, containers. Oh, yeah. So just for the benefit, I know some listeners know containers inside and out, but some have no idea what a container is. Maybe they see it on a truck, they see it in a train. So what's a container, and how can this make my listeners' lives easier?
Yeah, the visual of the, you know, the container truck, the shipping containers, is very apropos to Linux containers in the technology space these days, where what a Linux container is an application that is you have a container image file that basically contains the application you want to run, plus the dependencies and runtimes that you need to run that application. It's not a complete copy of an operating system. Where in the past, if people wanted to run an application, you had to go through the whole process of spinning up a physical machine or spinning up a virtual machine. And depending upon how automated your workflows are, it could take months to stand up to procure hardware, or days or weeks to get a virtual machine provisioned and locked down. Whereas with a container, you can have that spun up in a matter of seconds by a developer in a self-service way.
So it's a nice way to iterate.
Yeah, it's very fast, and also the other thing that you could do with a container is they're often immutable. So you could develop your container on your developer workstation, and then push that through your development workflow into test and into production. And the system that's running in production matches your development environment, which is very different than the traditional development methodology, where you have a development virtual machine and a production virtual machine, where the configurations can drift over time. And then something works on one end but not the other end, and you're scratching your head. That becomes a problem, whereas with containers, it's the same container images that move through that workflow.
You know, in the commercial world, you're evaluated by how much money you bring in. In the federal government agencies, some of them are evaluated by their FITARA score. And part of the FITARA score is being agile.
Yep.
And so this puts agility in work boots. Okay, you want to be agile? Well, here's one way to do it, is containers. This is one way to demonstrate that you're being agile, because what this does is you set up a test environment quickly, you fail early, fail often, come back, mm-hmm. change it again, fails again, change it again. All of a sudden you got something, go move on to the next step rather than waiting 6 months. So this really takes this kind of amorphous goal of being agile and puts it right on the table.
Right. The containers provide the tools to be able to do that development very quickly. One of the things that we always talk about is we call it time to hello world. You know, it's like, how much time does it take for somebody to provision, to be able to get the first line of code, the first application up and running? And with some agencies, you know, very rarely can you use a stopwatch to measure that. You're often using a calendar. And so by using things like containers and like a container management platform like OpenShift, you're able to be much more responsive and have the developers get that code up and running, and removing business friction and removing operations out of the mix, where you're providing secure containers from the get-go, and that frees up operations to focus on more strategic things for the mission.
8-9 years ago, I had the VMware here, and back in the day, the developers talk about spinning up a server, and you can spin up a server pretty easy with, because you test. And this is almost what this is doing. Is
yep.
It's not spinning up a server. It's putting together a test environment pretty nicely that doesn't cost any money. It's like putting up a sample car before you go into production, maybe a smaller car or something.
Yeah, and it's like the one of the big differences with containers is that with virtual machines, you need to have either a software subscription or a software license for every virtual machine that you have. And if you have one workload for every machine, that is going to not only increase the cost from a licensing standpoint for your software, but it's also going to increase your cost from, say, like a virtualization standpoint, because you have to have a complete operating system for every virtual machine. So you can only, your density may be like 10 to 1. On a single processor with virtualization, and that's nothing to sneeze at, right? People have done a lot of virtualization over the years and have seen significant cost and performance gains by doing the virtualization. Containerization takes that the next step further. You could think of it as Russian nesting dolls, where you have containers on top of a virtual machine on top of physical hardware. I can have 10 containers on a virtual machine. So the same way that I have 10 virtual machines on a processor, I can have 10 containers on top of 10 virtual machines on top of a processor. And so I can get, instead of a 10x improvement, I can get a 100x improvement in terms of density on a single piece of hardware.
That's a good description of a very complex topic. Let's take a break, talk more about Red Hat. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Dave Ext, Chief Technology Officer, North American Public Sector at Red Hat. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have David Ext, Chief Technologist, North American Public Sector at Red Hat. If you want to Google him, you can type in David EGTS. You'll find out all kinds of fun information, a lot of his technical background. You maybe stumble on a podcast where you can go in a little deeper dive on what exactly is going on with Red Hat. And he does it with a gentleman who's in the studio, Gunner, is that right?
Yep.
And just to repeat, where can they find that podcast?
DGShow.org.
DGShow.org. And an old geezer like me thinks of Data General. How's that for dating myself and being too old? What I do is I go to events all the time. I'm going to another one tonight, and people always say, hey, I heard that Dave on the air. What kind of phone does he have? What kind of car does he drive? It's silly questions. And so I've come up with a 10-question scientific test to find out if you, in fact, are a card-carrying nerd. Are you ready? Okay.
Yes.
Do you have an Instagram account?
No. I went less inboxes.
Mm. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself just in the last year?
One.
Should be like a half a dozen. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Yes, I do.
Mm. You have a Snapchat account?
Nope.
Mm. What kind of smartphone you got there?
It's Linux. It's Android. It's running Linux. I got to be running Linux.
Mm. That's the right answer, I think, for you. What's the most popular app on that phone the last 30 days?
Feedly.
Feedly. We
can't live without it. Can't live without it.
So we break into your house tonight. How many tablet devices do we see floating around there?
Three.
It's reasonable. Not too many. What was your most recent post in social networking?
The latest Dave and Gunner Show episode where we talked about machine learning at Red Hat.
Mm. And when is your Apple Watch due? I don't see it in your arm there.
Not interested.
Not interested. Hmm. And the last book you read, was it paper or was it electronic?
Audio.
Audio. So the third rail, huh?
Yeah. I do a lot of traveling, and that's... you can get a lot of content consumed as you're driving.
Well, you know, I was at a Amazon Web Services trade show and up to 30 people and said, when you drove here, did you use podcast or radio? And about a third of them said audio, audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of that. I guess I enjoy reading books so much. I like, you know, and I think podcast is a business more than anything else. You know, earlier we talked about Red Hat being red hot, and that's all funny and entertaining and makes for good radio. But I like to look at 5-10 years down the road, and so, you know, 10 years ago, no one could have predicted the success Red Hat. I mean, no, I couldn't. It wasn't there, but it's been very, very successful. So, where's Red Hat going to be in the next 5-10 years? What about the federal government? Give me some predictions here of an open source. Give me your crystal ball here, Dave.
Yeah. So one of the things, like historically, that we've been very, very successful with is taking code, open sourcing it, and making it commercially supported in the enterprise. And we're going to continue to do that. But instead of just putting bits out there and having subscriptions associated with the bits, we're also getting more into software as a service and machine learning and analytics. So one of the things that I think that we have a big differentiator over, say, like proprietary companies and even just people in the open source community is that we have the intersection of a wealth of knowledge inside of our knowledge base, as well as in our bug tracking system, and also in our customer management system. And so what we've been doing is we've come out with an offering called Insights, which allows, we do a lot of proactive analysis to help customers attach their systems to Red Hat Insights. And what we can do is we could take a look at how their systems are configured and proactively find out if there are misconfigurations from either a security or performance standpoint, or even a hardware failure standpoint. And instead of waiting for the failure to happen, we could actually use Insights. Our customers can use Insights to get tipped off before a failure happens. So then that way they don't get called in the middle of the night.
That tire is about to blow out and you don't get stuck
in the
bridge.
It's an impending failure. So I think that's where the puck is going. And we're starting to really get into that. You know, you hear a lot about AI and machine learning, and where... in the same way that you have Luke Skywalker with R2-D2 sitting behind him, that's the thing that we're getting more and more into with Insights and with a lot of the other offerings that we've been working on from an R&D standpoint.
Washington, D.C. has 3,500 trade associations in town here. I seem to be well-known among that group. And there's one called the American Beverage Association, ABA. They called me yesterday, and they want me to speak at their conference. And I went to their website, and they have something called BEV, BevOps.
BevOps.
Okay. I think it's kind of interesting, a play on words. They're talking about actually DevOps. So what's DevOps, and how does that fit in with the whole Red Hat story?
Yeah, so what... DevOps, it's the combination of your development team and your operations team working together. In the traditional data center, you had completely separate teams, possibly completely separate parts of an org chart across an organization where the development team would come up with something, a piece of code, and then they would flip it over the wall to operations to maintain it and make sure that it stays up and is secured. Over time, that methodology has it served us well for a very long time, but the reality is that combining the dev team and the ops team together allows you to iterate a lot faster and also have joint ownership in things like security and uptime. So instead of just like flipping code over the wall to the operations team to secure, we can get ahead of things by having the development team write more robust code, write more secure code, because they have a joint responsibility on the operations side. And so, and that's where we have both of those teams working together. And tying that back to with Red Hat is that we do that internally with the way we do development for a lot of the offerings that we have, and it's also I think open source is one of the like for people that are looking to move into the DevOps lifestyle, all of the tools that are coming out, whether it's containers or continuous integration software, all of that innovation is coming out of the open source community. We see people doing open source with GitHub and all that, and and kids are learning that in school, in high school, and on their robotics team. So I really think that open source is the future there, and DevOps is where a lot of people are going when it comes to moving to next generation data centers.
Yeah, when you just said DevOps lifestyle, I thought lifestyle of the rich and famous. No, more lifestyle of the very thorough, methodical people who deal with other analytical types and getting them in the same room together to pull the oars in the same way, like in your
exactly.
Kubernetes. Maybe have a helmsman and you have all these by pulling the oars at the same time going to Hades. Huh?
Yeah. Hopefully not to Hades.
Yeah, but, yeah. So pretty careful about that Kubernetes. Yeah. Where exactly is it taking you?
Yeah.
Positive, negative. In the next 6 months, the federal government's going to go into some really drastic changes here.
Yep.
So what do you see the next 2 or 3 years setting for my govies?
Yeah, I think this election cycle is probably going to be the one of the craziest ones in recent memory.
That's a safe statement.
Yeah. So that's where, I see too. It's like I've had a lot of customers, they're reaching out to Red Hat. It's like they don't know where things are going to go. But if they standardize on open source and they come to us and they're like, help us standardize on open source. So that way open source can stay the same. So things above it and the things below it can be different. That's going to insulate them from the impending political winds that are coming.
I think the civil rights phrase is keep your eyes on the prize. If we can focus on, well, the prize is going to be reduce costs for developing software, get things faster, iterate, be flexible, instead of BevOps, talk about DevOps. I think that's got to be the focus here in open source. And they do at least state that. Now, whether they can implement that, we'll just have to see.
Yeah.
I see GitHub being used by GSA and 18F, is really an interesting application for that, isn't it? I think of GitHub as maybe nerds in college dumping code so their buddy in San Francisco can pull it up. But GitHub is where GSA is going to be storing code and pulling it down to test it out.
Yeah.
It's just it's so innovative.
Yeah, and it's not just GSA is famous for being very open, and even if you look at the intelligence community, the NSA has a significant presence on GitHub, which you would think is. That's counterculture to them, but they have been open source leaders for a very long time, and we've had a great relationship with them with when it comes to things like security and getting open source getting technologies that NSA developed open source like SE Linux.
Okay, give me a 30-second answer, Dave. Analytics as a service. Go.
Well, what's the question?
Yeah, that's a question. Well, what is analytics as a service?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so analytics is a service. So so analytics is a service. That is like things like insights that we.
Ah.
Yeah. So it's so basically we are doing the analytics, we're analyzing our customer systems with Red Hat Insights to find out how they're configured or misconfigured, or if they have those impending failures. And we could help by using something like Insights, they can get ahead of those impending failures and minimize that Saturday morning emergency page that somebody has to go in and repair something because the system's down.
That makes sense to me. Well, you've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We have a long chat about Red Hat. Didn't mention NASA very much. We could do 40 minutes just on NASA and Red Hat, but talked about all kinds of innovation and how Red Hat can help my listeners achieve some of their goals this year for the federal government. This is Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio. I thank my guest, David X, Chief Technologist, North American Public Sector at Red Hat.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.